This morning, our passage is going to be the Gospel of John, chapters 21 to 18, and one other verse in Psalm 30, verse 5b. So why don't we read the passage? We lose nothing by reading the passage, and we do gain everything. So if you'll follow along, chapter 20, verse 1. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark. She saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've put him." At that, Peter and the other disciple went out, heading for the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and got to the tomb first. Stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then following him, Simon Peter came also. He entered the tomb, he saw the linen cloths lying there. The wrapping that had been on his head was not lying with the linen cloths, but was folded up in a separate place by itself. The other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, then entered the tomb, saw, and believed. For they still not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home again. But Mary stood outside, facing the tomb, crying. She stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head, one at the feet, where Jesus' body had been lying. They said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Because they've taken away my Lord," she told them. "I don't know where they've put him." Having said this, she turned around, saw Jesus standing there, though she did not know it was Jesus. "Woman," Jesus said to her, "why are you crying?" Again the question, "Who is it you're looking for?" Supposing he was the gardener, she replied, "Sir, if you removed him, tell me where you put him, and I will take him away." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning around, she said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Quite frankly, it means a little bit more than that. It means my master, is what it really means. So it's a little bit stronger than that, which means teacher. "Don't cling to me," Jesus told her, "for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers, tell them that I am ascending to my Father, your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I've seen the Lord." She told them what he said to her. And the one verse in Psalms, I'll give you the fourth, fifth, and all of the five, but the particular part we want to look at is just the last part. "Sing to Yahweh, you his faithful ones, praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but there's joy in the morning." Father, we just give you thanks for your word. Just ask your blessing on our time this morning. We ask in your name. Amen. I'm going to do something a little bit different. I want to begin with a true account of someone in Wits End Corner. Maybe you've seen it. Maybe you have not. But let me read it. Amanda Todd was a Canadian teenager who became an award-winning spokesman for despair at the age of 15. After a predator convinced her to pose topless for a photo. He later blackmailed her with threats to circulate the picture if she didn't reveal more, but he posted the photo anyway. Humiliation ran down on her like a summer squall. From the high school to the internet highway, she became the laughingstock of her circle. Already a fragile and private person, she retreated even further. She avoided friends, stayed home. Still, she couldn't escape the text, calls, and stares. For 3 years, the family changed schools, but the mockery followed. She was stalked and taunted. She descended into drugs and alcohol. She cut herself. She hid in her room. She drank bleach and tried to take her life. Finally, in an act of desperation, she posted a 9-minute video on YouTube using flashcards to a modern song. She recounted her months of horror and shame she brought to her family and the pain she brought to herself. The video image shows only the lower half of her voice and the written message. I have nobody. I need someone. My name is Amanda Todd. A month posting the video, she again attempted suicide. This time, she succeeded. If hope were around a rain cloud, Amanda Todd lived in the Sahara Desert. She searched for a reason to live and found none. Our thoughts this morning could well have been titled, God's Promise. Does God have a promise for someone like Amanda Todd? On the authority of this book, he does. Anyone can give pep talks. Self-help manuals may get you through a rough patch or a bad mood. But what about an abusive childhood, or a debilitating accident, or years of chronic pain, or public ridicule? Does God have a word for the dark nights of the soul? He does. Psalm 30, verse 5b says, "Weeping comes the night, joy comes in the morning." The promise begins with this phrase, "Weeping may last through the night." Of course, you know that. You don't need to read the verse to know its truth. Just ask a widow in a cemetery, or the mother in an emergency room, or the man who lost his job, or the teen who lost her way. I was a chaplain for the city of Hillsborough for 6 years. In the first couple of weeks of my going there and being a chaplain, I saw distress. A mom's and dad's with a Sid's death, a 14-year-old boy who had hung himself, a man who put a gun to his head. I saw all those things in a very short time. So for folks in those families, weeping may last through the night, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night. This is not news to you, but this may be news to a lot of people. Joy comes with the morning. Hopelessness does not have to rule. Sorrow will not last forever. We've got clouds that block the sun, but can eliminate it. And when Jesus comes, we will have morning. How many of you know have wept in the night during the day? Who do you know that needs this promise? Maybe you've wept a river. Maybe in some ways you've lost hope. Maybe because of hurt and despair in your life, you may wonder if morning will ever come. Let's talk about who wondered the same thing. Mary Magdalene, it's been said in the forest of the New Testament, she is the weeping willow. Luke 8:2. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, who was called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Now, you know, you can really get mystical with these seven demons. But maybe we can put it in today's vernacular. Before she had seven demons, she was prisoner of seven afflictions. What might this list include? Depression? Loneliness? Maybe she's widowed early? Shame? Maybe a recluse? A prostitute? Maybe abused? Abandoned? Seven in Scripture is sometimes describes completeness. It could be that she was completely consumed with trouble. But then something happened. Jesus stepped into her world, spoke, the demons fled. Mary, for the first time, could sleep, could eat enough, and smile that she led a normal life. Jesus restored her life to her life. She reciprocated. She loved Jesus. She was one among the female followers that contributed their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. Where Jesus went, Mary Magdalene followed. She heard him teach. She saw him perform miracles. She helped pay expenses. She may even maybe prepared meals. Even at the crucifixion, she was near the cross, according to John 19. She saw the nails. She heard the hammer. She saw the blood. On Friday, she watched Jesus die. On Saturday, she observed a sad Sabbath. On Sunday, she went to the tomb. Guess what? The stone had been rolled away. She hurried back, found Peter and John. We think John, the disciple Jesus loved. They got to the tomb. Peter stepped inside, stared, saw the empty tomb. And I was really taken by this. And then he believed. Doesn't say that about Peter, but it did specifically about John. We would think that Peter and John would hurry to tell the others. Well, verse 10 doesn't say that, because verse 10, I'm not dogmatic about this at all. I'm just reading what it says. In verse 10 it says, then the disciples went home again. Went home! Wouldn't you think that it'd be so momentous that they would be searching for Christ themselves? The tomb was empty. John believed. I don't know about where Peter stood on this. Okay, well, anyway, John did the math. No one took the body. No one robbed the grave. Jesus rose from the dead. John was the first to celebrate Easter. Peter and John hurried to tell the others? Nah, they went home. We expect the camera lens of the gospel to follow them. We expect John to tell us what the apostles did next, but he doesn't. But I say, or it says, they went home. He tells the story of the one who remained, the one who stayed. But again, verse 11 to 13 says, but Mary stood outside, facing the tomb, crying. As she was crying, she stooped to look into the tomb. Again, she felt alone. She again was weeping. Her world had hit rock bottom. Has that, just a question, has that ever happened in your life and experience? Did you have bad news and then got worse news? People do. This is the way we are. I can't speak of other generations. I can't speak of other ages. I can't speak of the Old Testament at all. But I can speak to the fact that people get down. They get depressed. They cry a lot. You know, there's cry of joy. I have to tell you this quickly. And this is, I'll tell the story on Bonnie. We had issues where we were before, and she cried. Now I got to be careful that I don't. But the first Sunday, she was here. She cried tears of joy. What a beautiful thing for her and for me. I mean, I was okay at that time and sort of discombobulated today. But the fact is that these were different kinds of tears. She was not remorseful about anything. She was not mad at anything. She wasn't even depressed about anything. But there was a difference in crying and weeping, but getting to a place where you shed tears of joy. Okay. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. She wanted to hold him. He said, don't. I don't even know what all that means. I really don't. But he had things to do and people to tell. So then she came and told the others. I'll read this specifically because this is a good statement. To her, of all the people to whom he could have spoken, Jesus went first to her. He just ripped the gates of hell off their hinges. He just yanked the fangs out of Satan's mouth. He just turned BC into AD, the undisputed king of the universe, who had 10,000 angels at his word, ready to serve. And what was his first act? To whom did he go? To Mary, the heartbroken, weeping woman who once had 7 demons. Why her? For as far as we know, she didn't become a missionary. No epistle is named for her. No New Testament passage describes her work. Why did Jesus create this moment for Mary Magdalene? Perhaps to send a message to all the heavy-hearted people. Weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes because Jesus comes. And if we can't recognize him, he calls our name. Isaiah 49:16 says, see, I have engraved on you on the palms of my hands. That's you. That's me. What a privilege we have of knowing Christ as our Savior. Do you find it hard to believe? It's been said that God loves good people. Wrong. There are no good people. We're all flawed. I can't stand. I can't and did not earn his love. What a statement to make when to get messed up. But I didn't earn his love. He loved me then. He loves me now. His love will not change. His love won't end if I lose my temper. It won't fade if I lose my way. It won't diminish if my discipline does. Someone has said that God loves you if you love him first. Wrong. We love people who have never thought. He loves people who have never thought of him. God is sheer mercy and grace. Psalm 103. Not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag or scold or hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sun rises from sunset, he separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. God loves you, and you can be assured that joy will come. So, as we sit here this morning, and I've been thinking about Magdalene for a lot, because you see, one of the reasons I want to make sure I do this is the last time that Scott and I were, not the last time, but year, not 2021, right? Bonnie and I had just moved. I had bought our new mule, Kawasaki mule. And it was not a plaything, it was a tool hauler. And I was driving, and my boot caught between the accelerator and the brake, and we crashed. She went off to one hospital, I went to another. That's where I called Gil, and it was a Saturday. And I said, Gil, I can't preach tomorrow. So I have to tell you, it was a little bit of, it's about time I did with Gil what I said I would do. And that was this morning. If joy comes to us, it came to Mary Magdalene without question. The same promise is ours. What if Mary would have not walked the trail to the empty tomb? We're to keep walking to the Lord Jesus. You may not feel like it. Mary encountered the risen Christ, and so will we. 1 John 1:7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what people of the promise do. Often we forget the power of Scripture. I do. Maybe it's just me, okay? But I need to make a higher priority to seize more of prayer. So important. So is fellowship. We just have breaking bread. We know how important that is. It's forgotten many places. But you know, the tears that we shed are nowhere near what Mary Magdalene had. We're not at Wind's End Corner. We're not at where Amanda Todd was. But there are people who get there. So it's up to us to be able to minister to those folks that we perceive are there. And there are many. There are many. We sit here with sunshine and smiley faces. I don't know you. God knows your heart. I don't. You don't even know me. Although I'd probably tell you about myself a lot. But the fact remains that Jesus loves us. I can go on saying that forever. And I probably should more than I do. I told the Lord a long time ago, if you want me to just do anything and say anything, I'm yours. Now, sometimes I have opportunity, sometimes I don't. But you meet people every day. I was in Winco, maybe I told you this, I was in Winco about a month ago, and I'm standing in line with my groceries because Bonnie can't go buy a grocery bag, and so even the cripple needs to go. So anyway, I'm standing in line with a full basket. A woman taps me on the shoulder. She says, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "Huh? Can I pray for you?" I said, "Of course you can." She must have seen my cane. It was in the basket, but she made sign. Anyway, so she did, right there. Right in the checkout line, I was next, but not quite ready, and she was behind me. I said, "Sure." So she prayed, and she said, "You're going to be healed." I said, "Ma'am, I hate to disappoint you, but you're looking at theology a little different than I do. But it's okay. I appreciate the fact that you wanted to pray for me." How that happened, I'll never know. But that was a God thing. So, I guess maybe I'm rambling. But the power of prayer, the power of fellowship is so important. Breaking bread is so important. Weeping comes to all, to some with greater, I don't know what I wrote down. Weeping comes to all, in one some with greater length, but we are promised joy. Sorrow may have the night, but it can't have our lives. Gilbert, I'm going to be early. But I'll close with this. There's a song, it's called The Wedding Song. And it's done by the Cathedral Quartet, the older ones, and then one with the newer men. But they're great. But I'll read what I can of this. I scratched it out late last night. Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding music I hear? The family's preparing for a wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal, when the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in." Soon we will rise to leave this land of sorrow, for that ceremony in the air, through the holy name of, through the holy land of splendor, have you made your preparation to be there? Thank God for those who do that. I'm done. Did you want me to close in prayer, or will someone else do that? Father, we just thank you again this morning for our Savior. We thank you for Mary. We thank you that though she suffered much in many ways, she still loved the Lord, and she was with him. We hear nothing more about her, Lord, but she must have just continued on where she was. And we just want to pray that her attitude, her demeanor, her life were much better because she met the risen Christ. We thank you for your word. In his name, amen.